Will, might the particles that they're putting up there in the atmosphere be an adjunct to HAARP, and perhaps they are working as a team?
I think so. When I talked to Bernard Eastland, the man who invented HAARP and holds the patent for HAARP, I asked him what he was doing, and he said the primary objective of HAARP was climate modification. And that later, through email, I asked him if some of these cobweb strands that were seen all over North America and elsewhere, could they possibly be a polymer, I asked him, and could this be used somehow to heat the atmosphere with HAARP? Because remember, the HAARP transmitter up in Gakona, Alaska, and there's one in Puerto Rico, there's one in Europe, they shoot very intense and narrowly focused beams of radio frequency energy right through the atmosphere into the ionosphere, mm-hmm. which is our electrical cap on the Earth. So they, in order to heat the atmosphere and mess with weather, you have to heat a matrix placed there. And he wrote back and said, absolutely, polymers tuned to the same radio frequency of HAARP are available commercially in Ohio, of course, the home of Wright-Patterson, the home of HAARP. And he thought that there could be a possibility there. Barium also, as you know, is an electrolyte. We think of the electrolyte in the batteries of our car. The chemtrails, the barium aspect, could be used the same way to duct or conduct radio and radar beams over the horizon. And again, the two scientists working on chemtrails at Wright-Patt told Bob Fitzrakis at Columbus Alive that the barium aspect of chemtrails was used for military purposes and had been used in Afghanistan to bounce radio beams to the pilotless drones that made some 40 attacks in Afghanistan so they could remotely control the drones. So barium seems to be a component useful for HAARP, which is very disturbing because we're finding barium in samples not only in Edmonton but recently in Italy. Now, what is even more disturbing to my mind is last January, that is January 2003, Pravda, the magazine over there in Russia, the state newspaper, right, ran a major story saying that the Russian state Duma had spent nearly a year considering what they called the global threat posed by HAARP. And we want to remember that the European Union some years ago, thanks to Nick Begich and others, publicly condemned HAARP and called for it to be stopped. But President Putin got a report saying that the operators of this weapon, he's talking about Americans here, are able to program floods, tornadoes, storms, and earthquakes in any region of the planet. And they went even further in this official study and said even affect the psyche of entire nations. And they said that, in fact, this is from the Russian government, that the scientifically incomprehensible apathy of entire peoples in the post-Soviet territories could be connected to testing by the USA of such a geophysical weapon, they meant HAARP. And isn't it interesting that we find this amazing and troubling apathy among the North American public, many of whom we can't even get to look up at the sky right over their heads. And the Russians, who, by the way, as we know, are masters of HAARP-type technology. They've been doing it for many years. They're way advanced in physics, and they are convinced that this thing has caused airplane crashes and earthquakes. We note that the terrible earthquake a few months back now in Iran followed HAARP by 24 hours. That is, HAARP went to full power just before that quake. That doesn't mean HAARP caused it. We don't have that kind of proof, but again, the coincidence is highly suspicious, and the Russians think that this is a weapon of mass destruction, and certainly chemtrails would allow that beam to be bounced anywhere on the planet.
All right, but is it because we're hearing different uses for this now, weather manipulation being one, the possibility of a weapon, or is it all tied together?
Oh, I think it's tied together, you know, see how much bang we can get for the dollars spent on this. When I first started researching this story, I wrote one of the first mainstream articles on HAARP. The scientists involved with it said publicly that they were trying to manipulate a chaotic region of the atmosphere to, quote, see what would happen if it became unstable. Just like they said when they lit off the first atomic bomb in New Mexico, they did it to see what would happen, even though they suspected and had been warned it could ignite the very atmosphere. So they want to see what will happen, and now, very alarmingly, HAARP has been told to double its power output up to something like 3.6 million watts of power, never before seen on this planet. They're heading, Eastland says, toward 1 trillion watts. But to do that, there's not enough power in the rural Alaska grid. They have to tap the natural gas on Alaska's North Slope. So isn't it curious that within days of being ordered to double the power, the Bush administration okayed drilling on Alaska's North Slope for those gas reserves? And finally, what might be news to our listeners tonight is that HAARP has been sold. It is no longer owned by the United States.
Well, I didn't know that. Who owns it?
It's owned by a British arms company, formerly known as British Aerospace, now called BAE Systems. People in England would recognize the name because it's in the news continuously for major scandals, drug rings, prostitution, things like this. But check this out, George. Their main client is Saudi Arabia.
Is this a private company?
It is a private company.
Do we have any idea who's behind it?
No, but CorpWatch and others have castigated the company for corporate crimes from Indonesia to Zimbabwe.
Where's their home office?
Qatar to Algeria. That would be, I assume, London. I would have to actually look that up. But people can check out BAE Systems and read all about it. It's also in the new edition of my book.